webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
And thank you very much, Robert Moore. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, December 14th, 2011. The only December 14th, 2-0-11, and the only second webcast of the start of Winter Pledge Drive 2-0-11 in the history of the world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are logged on live, or on the archive, as the case may be, to an historical event. The webcast known as the Gospel Revolution goes online once again, and we are glad to have you along for the ride. We are taking all callers, all comments, all questions, all pledges tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting in tow to take your calls, and we want to encourage you to get in quickly and often. 1-800-436-3260. That's toll-free number in North America. If you are listening live outside of North America, you can call too. We want to hear from you, of course. 813-425-5773. That is the direct line to the Bay of the Holy Spirit studios here in the Tampa Bay region of Florida. 813-425-5773. And now, without any further ado, please let us go across the Bay of the Holy Spirit, across the Gulf of Mexico, to the home offices of the president, the founder, the grand poobah, the Kentucky colonel, the teacup poodle, the false Christ. He has many titles, he wears many hats, but he is only sitting on one couch, actually laying on one couch, guaranteed. From Houston, Texas, please welcome online our friend. You know him, we love him, we could not live without him. Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Glenn.
That is a hell of an introduction, I got to tell you.
I tell you, it really was, except I am not on the sofa. I am in my bedroom, actually.
I am shocked and dismayed.
I know. Well, you know, I have company right now, so I had to retire to some place with a little less noise going on. So.
And what company do you speak?
My daughter is here, my beautiful young daughter, Audrey. She is 25 years old. And my friend Chris from Illinois, who is 41 years old. And Audrey has been here a week. Chris just arrived Sunday. Audrey flies home tomorrow, and we've had a wonderful time. And we had a lot of good gospel talk. We were talking the other day, and I was helping her to understand the really something that I think this may be a true statement, that here in the Gospel Revolution and this webcast and the teaching of the Gospel Revolution may be the only source on earth that clearly delineates between the gospel and Christianity. I think most all of the other things, all of that I know of, are trying to use the gospel to repair Christianity or trying to make Christianity applicable to the gospel or the gospel applicable to Christianity. And, you know, I just have to be this bold to say, there is no gospel at all in Christianity. It's not just another gospel. There is no gospel in it. If you stop to think of the basic elements of the truth of the gospel, you will find it is not in Christianity at all.
In fact, the teaching that is part of the pledge drive, which we will talk about as the webcast progresses, this our thank you gift. The teaching that came out of the summit here in Tampa is the teaching of Peter, James, and John, and it is subtitled Gospel-Free Christianity.
Yes.
As opposed to the Gospel Revolution, which is Christianity-Free Gospel.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's so true, Michael. I just had a really good post on Facebook from Germa Colston that talked about apparently Rob Bell, who was the former pastor from Grand Rapids, Michigan, that wrote the book hinting at the fact that there might not be a hell. He was on MSNBC, apparently, and was asked, as his forerunners have been asked for decades now on television, is there anything to in eternity for other people who are outside of Jesus? And he would not answer the question.
That's disappointing.
But to your point, if he he's been under tremendous scrutiny and criticism within Christianity for his stance. If he of all people cannot draw the line and say no,
yeah,
the gospel has nothing to do with Christianity, and Christianity has nothing to do with the gospel, you're right. There are very few people, if any, out there on the planet that have made such a distinct and important, I would say even critical, distinction between Christianity and the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. It is vital. It really is. And the need, anyone that's still in a position to need the validation of any part of Christianity to have an income or to have a position, and they're still wanting to be accepted by it, it will just by virtue of being around it, it will sap the gospel right straight out of you. It's not just another way of thinking pertaining to the gospel. It's heinous. It is the absolute antithesis to the gospel. It's not just another gospel. I think Paul called it another gospel, and I do have to go another step.
Well, I think we can go another step because we have 2,000 years of this garbage that he had put up with for the last part of his life.
Yes, and these were Jesus' disciples, and we do have the fortune of looking back over 2,000 years of history of this, and it really is quite amazing when you realize that. What has happened over the last 25 years is a thread-by-thread extraction of the gospel out of the weave of Christianity. And we have had the absolute honor and privilege of being able to see the gospel form an entire picture that is complete. It is entire. It is consistent. It is logical. It is powerful. It is the power of God. And the only way it can be is for all of those threads to have been removed out of Christianity and completely, and let them stand as they are and let them paint the picture that they so clearly paint. And it really is. It's just amazing when you realize that everything that Christianity teaches is in the Bible, and it's even in the Scriptures. It's just misplaced. They have all of it at some future date. That the cross was some sort of a fractional down payment on the fulfillment of Scripture and prophecy and law, and
the fulfillment to human beings.
Oh, absolutely. As to what that means to the human race. But it's the cross. Let me assure you, the cross is not a minimal down payment on the debt. The cross was complete payment for the debt. Not only did Jesus pay the debt of sin, Jesus, in his own body, destroyed the entire human race in his own body that existed before the cross. He created in the new creation. We live in a brand new creation as of just over 2,000 years ago, wherein there is a new heaven, there's a new earth, there's a new creature, which now no longer is in the image of God. My God, what a powerful understanding that we are not in the image of God. We are one with God. God and the human race are integrally together in one creation. God and his creation are now one. He does not sit up over his creation. He is his creation, and his creation is him. And there is nothing about that. Let me tell you, there is nothing about that in Christianity.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is, people have hinted at that from time to time, and they are shut down so quickly.
Very quickly.
Because if you ever tell somebody that they are perfect and righteous and holy apart from going to church or apart of yielding their lives to the covering of a so-called local leader or pastor, you are in deep doggy doo-doo.
Yeah.
Because, Michael, they lose all control.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the fright that hits Christianity, whether it is people at the top or people at the bottom. And here's the thing, is the people at the top do have some control. The people at the bottom are given the illusion of control, which they have none, zero. And it is this illusion of control over life, over your finances, over life and death actually itself, over your health, over your children. And it is an illusion that has been created by those who do have control to make you think that if you maintain the course, you too will have control in your life. So all it does is create a bunch of people, wonderful people. Please understand, I know a lot of Christian people, and I was one. But I ain't no more. I am not a Christian. And
I am not a Christian.
I heard a good song about that.
Kate Benham, I am not a Christian.
And the ability to stop this absolute lunacy of feeling, believing that there's something spiritual that puts me in control over the elements of life, rather than that which is spiritual is that I am that life instead of trying to control it. You are it. You are that life. And no matter how it's experienced, no matter what is experienced, we're it. And it's just such a powerful, wonderful understanding that is so clear that has, and I am able to say still today, I'm holding out for the possibility, but it gets bleaker and bleaker every year that I'm going to have to say if and but or maybe concerning anything dealing with the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, what is getting bleaker is the likelihood that you're going to have to say that.
Absolutely.
What you're saying is that we're open.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd be idiots given where we've come from and what we've had to say we were wrong about, to say that we're not open to the possibility that the gospel isn't as all-inclusive as we're saying it is right now. That's where an if and a but or maybe would come in. But right now, in this particular mid-December 2011 evening, we don't see that as a likelihood, although we remain open-minded. Speaking of open, the phone lines are open right now. And the beautiful thing, here's the reality, folks, about starting the program 15 minutes earlier like we've done for about the last month. We would not be even online yet at the regular start time. And the last 15 minutes of what has happened on this webcast is so rich and so powerful and so life-affirming and so thought-provoking and so saving to the soul that I'm very thankful for the extra 15 minutes. Give us a call. Let us hear your thoughts tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Sean is just waiting diligently by the phones for you at 1-800-436-3260. If we haven't heard from you in a while, if we hear from you every week, if we've never heard from you, we want to hear from you. We cannot express it, I don't think, any more clearly than that. 800-436-3260. 3260 and the number around the planet if you're listening and it's straight up 9 o'clock on East Coast of the good old U.S. of A. You can give us a call at 1-813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Michael, we sent out an e-newsletter today talking about this phenomenal story that is happening in the United States right now in the world of sports with this kid, Tim Tebow, who has been, since he's come into the public eye in college, and he went to school here at the University of Florida in Gainesville and won a couple of national championships while he was there. And they thought that his style of being a quarterback would not translate from college to the pros. And, in fact, under all circumstances, even watching him play as he's come in mid-season for our friends in Denver there, for the Denver Broncos, his style doesn't follow the classic quarterback of success. And yet, he is, in his 8-game starting for Denver, is 7-1, and his team is now in first place. They were in last place. And they are calling him the Chosen One, and he is your classic out-front public Christian that when interviewed after a big game or a big win or a big play, the first thing the guy always says is, first of all, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he'll talk about the X's and the O's of the game or whatever. And he's taken on, Michael, a pose on the sideline when he is supposedly praying, where he's on one knee with his fist up to his forehead, kind of like the old thinker statue. And this thing is now called Tebowing. And it literally has gone all over the world. People are mimicking him in this so-called pious moment. Sean is doing it right now in the studios here of the Bay of the Holy Spirit, and God has not stricken him dead yet, so that's good. that was a good Tebow, Sean. And people are saying, well, what's such a big deal about a guy who wants to talk about his Lord and Savior? We know some of Tim Tebow's history. His parents are lifelong missionaries. When he was in college, he was on a missionary trip to the Philippines, and his work, his act of faith, if you will, was to be involved in the circumcision of Filipino baby boys. He continues to claim that he is a virgin. He is a classic all-American guy. For you guys around the world, if you can picture the classic all-American Caucasian hero, see Tim Tebow or see the email that we sent out. It's also on the Gospel Revolution Facebook page. Michael, why is it so dangerous to allow this public figure to make these pronouncements in that kind of setting and go unchallenged?
Well, absolutely nothing should be in an arena where that it is unchallenged, but it has to go unchallenged because of the lack of any understanding about his statement. Number one, Jesus is not his Savior and Lord. Jesus is the Savior and the Lord of the entire planet. And, you know, either way, you can look at this a couple of different ways. Whenever I see something like this happening, because I know the absolute predictability of elevating anyone or anything in a sphere of self-righteousness, it's going to fall. And in that count, you can say, wow, this is a good thing because it will... There is no doubt this will all come crumbling down for this young man, but the thing that is happening is the replicas that are happening that is going to cause all of those others to come crashing down. And it'll probably in the long run create more atheism than anything else, because the message I think that is being portrayed is that if you make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to be a winner. Maybe it turns you into Charlie Sheen or something. I don't know.
That might not be the best example that you could give, or but it might be a good one. I understand what you're saying. But here's the counterpoint to that, because things seem like they are going swimmingly for Tim Tebow. He's a multimillionaire. He's handsome as hell. He's a successful now NFL quarterback. He is getting this stage constantly. I mean, you cannot turn on, forget about the sports channels in the U.S. You can't turn on a news channel now without hearing about this phenomenon and the controversy that is causing, and the people having to line up on the different sides. But, Michael, if you're a guy that thinks that the way that Tim Tebow believes, which is basically straight down the line evangelical Christianity, and your life ain't going so well, you're not the golden boy. You're not a multimillionaire. You're not the most handsome person on the planet. You got to think that either God has it out for you, or that somehow you are missing the will of God for your life. People are not going to feel very good about themselves and respond to the people that are in their lives very effectively and positively with that kind of mindset.
No, it definitely isn't. And of course, there's nothing that will support the whole situation. My heart goes out to him, because I, you know, in what capacity I was in that position, based on my story, that I was elevated to someone that people looked to as an example in some spiritual context. Believe me, the pressure of that is just unbearable, and I was nowhere near anything that this young man is having to demonstrate. Guarantee you, this young man is a human, and he is.
Wait, that is really quite a statement right there. Michael Williams is going way out on a limb tonight, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and guaranteeing that Tim Tebow is a human.
We guarantee you he is a human, and he has human thoughts, and he has human desires, and to portray oneself to virtually not be human and to not have human desire, boy, that's just, you know, you're just setting yourself up bad. So my heart goes out to him, number one, and then, of course, to all the people who would try to emulate that to gain the same thing. Like, say, it's not going to make them better looking. It's not going to make them wealthy as it has him, unless exactly the same thing happens to them that happened to him, which that's proven to be a very minute, insignificant number as far as the population of this country or especially the planet. It's just, it's way more than winning the lottery. It'd be winning the lottery several thousand times over.
All right, so let's say that he does feel as special or as chosen, and he has been called the chosen one on a number of occasions. Let's say he feels that way because he recognizes that he's in an extremely unique and special position. In other words, like many Christian leaders do, or even Christian individuals do, feel specially called. And you can relate to that. In your past life, what kind of pressure is that?
Well, ask Jimmy Swaggart. You know, ask all of these guys who've gone down that path.
Ask Ted Haggard how that feels.
Yes, Ted Haggard. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And that's just the ones who were caught. Do you realize that none of these men went to the confessional booth nor to the altar and confessed these, quote, sins? They were caught. And none of these guys ever came clean. They were caught. And the only difference between them and the rest of us is that we weren't caught. And I'll guarantee you that. There is no one upholds a righteous standard that is demanded by Christianity or by a righteous God. That's for sure. It just, no man measures up to that. Even if they water it down real well, nobody still measures up to it. It is so complete.
See, here's the thing. You know, Tebow makes a big deal, for example, beautiful humans, that he's still a virgin. Which, listen, from a technical standpoint, he may still be. From Yeshua's teaching, Michael, on the law, he ain't no virgin.
No, definitely not. So, you know, it is, talk about moot point, definitely would be one.
But he makes a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. He's praised in a lot of religious and Christian quarters, and even in some secular quarters, for having that kind of discipline to remain a virgin.
Yeah, and you know, that's great if that's his choice, but to exalt that as a symbol of righteousness, it is a deadly thing. It's not healthy for anybody to embrace that. And you say, well, it's a good example for young people, but no, it's not a good example, because if he was just portraying an example of this is what it's like to have the ability to make a choice, that would be fine. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of young people don't know, is that they do have a choice in these matters. But the choice has now become a righteousness.
If they're given a choice, a lot of times, as we know oh too so well, also recently in the United States sports world, look at all these things that are happening in sports in this country right now. The Sandusky
scandal.
And
that's just in sports. That doesn't count all of the children's life. I was given no choice.
Right.
I mean, to reach adulthood and be a virgin, that was long gone for me when I was 5 years old. And
when you were 5 years old?
Yes, when I was 5 years old, that was all gone for me.
The comments that we're talking about, folks, that this is deadly stuff. You know, sometimes, obviously, we're lighthearted, but we mentioned in the newsletter that we know about the lunacy that Tim Tebow is sharing. We also said in the newsletter that there, at least publicly, is nothing not to like about him, or very little not to like about
absolutely.
Tim Tebow. But we're talking about his professed religion. And we know about the idiocy of what he's about, going to the Philippines and circumcising babies on God's errand. What about the multiple million? We're talking the billions, folks, because there's billions of people on the planet. The billions of things that are being done right now as we are speaking. And they are being done in the name of God. They're being swept underneath the carpet because people put on a pious act, because people are not real. That's exactly what Michael said. These guys got caught. They never went on the Today Show or on 60 Minutes or on the Larry King Show. When Jimmy Swaggart said, "I've sinned," that was after he was caught. Michael, when you were being mentored and tutored in this Christianity, and you share this in your book that's going to hopefully be published and released next year, and we can say that here in December. You talk about a time where you went on a trip and came back and had sinned as far as the church was concerned that you were under, and you did go, you did own it, and you went to your minister and your pastor and told him what happened. What happened to you?
Well, I was removed from the ministry immediately, and my income stopped immediately. And of course, I knew what the consequences of this would be. There would not be not a single paycheck more would be coming. And certainly my position at the church was immediately removed. To which I agreed, because I knew the consequences of doing these things in church.
Because that's what
you know, everybody else was doing these things and just not telling.
Right.
I was the stupid one. I thought you're really supposed to tell.
Yeah, you actually believe what they taught.
I really believed it.
And these guys who didn't and don't come forward, the reason they don't is they know what the consequences of telling will be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and as you know, these things are going on around the planet now. I mean, people that have been caught, they just hold the line and don't give in don't ever admit to it, and somehow, because people don't want to believe these things anyway. And, but, you know, the issue is, you know, is they're either true or they're not true. And, it's just so amazing that we live in such a society to where that people need their heroes to be a certain thing, you know. And, I mean, it's coming, unraveled, obviously, in the arena of sports. I mean, goodness gracious, and if there's what now, three of them out there that, that have these accusations of molestation.
Oh, there's, now there's four.
See,
the dominoes are starting to fall, folks. If you want to know what the downfall of Christianity might look like, we're seeing a little bit of snippet in North American sports, because the first thing was Jerry Sandusky and Penn State. Then we had the one at Syracuse University. Then we had the AAU basketball coach in Memphis. And then we had one of the youth hockey coaches from Canada. This is all within the last, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks. This is because as soon as somebody starts coming forward, this is how the Catholic Church scandal happened.
Right, absolutely.
But, you know, Michael, when you were talking earlier about how people want an illusion of control in their lives, and while you said that the religious leaders do have some control, the people have very little control, it's not just that they want control. It is the classic psychological paradigm of codependency. They don't just want control in their own lives, which we all do. There is the segment of people that stay under that kind of bondage and that kind of oppressive, controlling, clerical manipulation their entire lives. There's something in the human unsaved soul that wants to be controlled, that wants to be told what to do, that, as you said, that wants to have these so-called heroes. And how is it that one after one after another fall into open public scandal, and yet we go back for more?
Well, and here's the thing, is that we're living in a time now to where that this is really, it really can happen in this sweeping way. You got to realize that until just the last few years, there was not enough connectivity as far as the news or anything that would have even covered this. It's only been in the last couple of decades that it would have ever come to a news agency. It would have been something that they would have left alone completely and ignored,
right,
which is what happens with child molestation.
Let's just rehearse some of the scandals that we've known about since cable television, satellite television, and the internet. By the way, you can't track this back. For beyond the modern technological era, which we're living in right now. But you take a look at the, these are people that you know about, folks. There's other, you know, subspecies, if you will, that were out there in the public as well. Local stuff, like the minister up there in Georgia. I can't even remember. Eddie something or other. I can't even remember his
name.
Eddie Long. But we're talking about Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton, who is a professed Christian. With the information we found out that we never knew about previous presidents that many were involved in. Ted Haggard, and these scandals that we just talked about. These are just all relatively recent phenomenon.
And then all of the senators and legislators that my goodness, these lifelong careers, which never happened before this age of media happened. I mean, these guys were molesters and they were sexual predators. They just kept doing their thing until they died.
And not to mention, as we did before, but the entire Roman Catholic Church sex scandal. That stuff wouldn't have gotten known. People that were being molested in Ireland and Germany and Italy and the United States and all over the world, they wouldn't have known about each other. But, Michael, there's strength in numbers. People are strengthened. Listen to this, folks. People are strengthened when they realize they have common interest.
Yeah.
and they have a common experience. Imagine, Michael, the strength of when the gospel permeates the earth. We may or may not see it in our lifetime, but when people realize they have everything in common.
Yes, absolutely. And what you're watching, again, is the antithesis to the gospel, but it's still the same element that we are now living in, an era and a time when things can happen overnight. And these almost overnight changes, and they're definitely overnight changes for a lot of individuals once, you know, that they are caught in these situations and the news of it sweeps around the world, their lives are changed forever, hopefully. I would like for it to be in a good way, but usually it's just, you know, more destruction on top of the destruction that they've caused and, the destruction that they have brought in the lives of other people. But, we're living in a time, here's the thing that's so exciting. Not only, as far as I know, is this the only voice, in the gospel revolution is the only voice that clearly delineates and explains Christianity and explains the gospel as two separate entities and delineates between the two accurately, consistently, insistently, and persistently on all levels. And folks, what you got to understand is that this could drop like a bomb at any moment. We are living in the first time in the history of this planet that this gospel could number one, be so clearly delineated from Christianity, and then number two, to live in a time when it could so easily, I'm telling you, easily spread around the planet like a firestorm. And I fully expect it. In my own state of mind, I fully expect this. Now, what you said, Glenn, whether or not that'll be in my lifetime or not, I fully expect that the gospel revolution is the main force and part of the main force that is out there that will transform this planet into a civil society that is going to be able to carry on and deal with the fact the world is not coming to an end. There is no other spiritual voice out there telling people that the world's not coming to an end. All other religious voices, all other spiritual voices, if you will, have people operating within the realm of doing things before the end of the world comes. The gospel is the only thing that causes you, number one, to understand that the end of the world's not coming and gives you a better world to live in all at the same time. There is nothing like it. Please understand me. There is nothing like the gospel. There is nothing similar to the gospel. There's nothing close to the gospel. It is either the gospel or it's not the gospel. It is absolutely the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my entire existence on this planet, coming up on 60 years. It's amazing. It is consistent. It is clear. It's profound. And its impact is measurable.
Oh, my God. That is some good preaching, Roberts, right there. You know, folks, you got to understand something. Here's what has happened to us in the gospel revolution. Who is us? Whoever wants to be part of it. Michael talked about it in his newsletter that came out this weekend about the American Revolution being born out of men talking about liberty. And you know what? They talked a lot about it. They thought a lot about it. And it wasn't just what they talked about when they went to work or that when they went to the bar. They talked about it all the time. It permeated every area of their lives, their family lives, their businesses, their public existence. This is the reality for gospel revolutionaries.
Yeah.
I'm on hold here waiting to go online with Michael. I hear him talking to Chris and Audrey about what? The gospel.
I hear them now out in the backyard talking about what? The gospel.
They're
not even listening. They're outside talking about the gospel.
I talk to our friend Richard Mull almost every day, ask him how he's doing. What do we talk about? The gospel. I just got off the phone today with George in the Jar, who was in the gym working out. What were we talking about? The gospel. It's not that we don't talk about other things. Of course we do. But you guys, this radio show, this effort is not just like kind of a fly-by-night, fancy-free sort of charitable effort. This is our life.
Yeah.
This is our driving force. And when I was talking to my son, Jake, the other night, and he had talked to my daughter, Gracie, who, frankly, the 15-year-old girl needed a good talking to. And her older brother in California let her have it pretty good. And I took exception with it. Now, Jake is a grown man. Gracie's a young woman. She's 15 going on 26. They have a right to their own relationship, a right to their own dialogue, a right to their own communication. Of course. That is the rational, vital, logical, and mental approach to parenting after your kids are grown up. That's what we found out in this gospel thing here. Through what? Through a vital, rational, mental, logical disposition. But I told him after he had heaped a whole pile of guilt on his sister trying to get her to think right for a second, I was like, dude, that was exactly the opposite of what she needed to hear. And I told him that as a co-equal, if you will. I wasn't speaking as his father. And we had a really good talk about it. And he initially said to me, he said, Pop, he said, Gracie did not need to have her soul saved today. That's exactly how he said it to me. As if this was, you know, this is some sort of spiritual exercise we go through. Like going to church. Like going into the confessional. Like confession of sin or communion or prayer time or whatever. And I said, Jakey, I said, that's exactly what Gracie needed. Michael, people don't understand the importance of this process to the human brain. To the thing that it's the one thing the gospel, the power of God has been left to us to do is to affect and save and renew our soul. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to really focus in on what you were sharing with the people just a bit more that, you know, this hour, normally an hour, this hour and a half that we're doing tonight, this hour is just the moment that we open the window and say this to the world.
Yes.
That's the only difference. You've got to realize this goes on all the time. And it is not, it's, and everybody knows this is not something that is required. It's not something we use to measure as what's going on and what's not going on, what's happening and not happening. We have learned in retrospect what it does do, and we can voice our opinions about that. And it's not an opinion that
right.
It saves the soul. That is the truth. But now we have experience to say what that looks
exactly.
Like, at least in our experience.
Our opinion is based on verifiable,
yes.
Observable, objective.
So this is, we're constantly, you know, I hate to appeal to people to do it because, you know, nobody's appealing to me to do it, and I'm not appealing to Glenn to do it. These are things that, now, the thing of it is, we have, all of us have found this so powerful and that it does such alterations to the thinking and the emotions in a crisis or in a difficult situation or whatever it is.
How about just day-to-day? How about just day-to-day life?
Yes, that we will actually stop and deliberately engage in listening to a CD or engaging in a conversation because we know by experience and so far 100% every time it has a positive effect on the ability to handle the current situation, whether it's daily life, whether it's a crisis or what, because just daily life itself is the grind, as you know. We've been taught that all of our lives. But there's something different. And the most powerful thing that we can do, see, we're not The thing I'm so thankful for in the gospel is that we have completely eliminated all other possibilities for the use of the gospel. We've eliminated all of them. There's only one use. Please understand, there's only one use of the gospel. There's only one need for the power of God in the earth. It is the mind. It is the emotions of the human being. That is the only purpose that now, but see, that's what the gospel does for the mind and the emotions. The blood of Jesus did all that it took to, number one, cancel out. The shed blood of Jesus was the first creation dying. The blood draining out of the body of the first creation died on the cross and died in its entirety with all of the human race at once, and then raised from the dead a complete new creation, a species that never existed before, which now no longer had God up here and man down here. It is now God-man, and it's one. It's just one. And we cannot, there will never be breath in my body that will be able to express that in its deepest form. I reach every direction I can to try to get this message to people's hearts. I will say it every way that I possibly can. But I finally realized that this becomes something that truly is a personal experience. But it is a personal experience that you have with the information that you get. And that you allow that to happen, and you don't even have to allow it. All you have to do is hear it. It is not a decision that you're going to now allow the gospel to do this. This is what the gospel does. If you hear it at all, it will begin turning. You can go anywhere from turning a crank on a T-model Ford all the way to putting the fuel in when the rockets take off from down at Cape Kennedy. It is power. It's the power for the mind to be able to deal with life in a logical, vital, mental disposition.
Right,
and it is for that.
And it doesn't guarantee, folks. Let me make sure that you hear this loud and clear. It does not guarantee that you necessarily make good decisions.
Yes.
Or what at the time could be valued by you or anybody else as a quote unquote good decision. What the gospel does, it allows you to deal with having to make the decision. It allows you to deal with the stress. You know, Michael, you talked about getting through crises and issues and stuff like that, and that we have not found it one time. It's 100%. Here's what happens when you hear the gospel. You get saved. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. We cannot recommend this message of God's redemption, of the reconciliation of all things through Christ. We can't recommend it enough for you, your neighbor, your family, the whole planet, the 160-plus countries around the globe that are listening to us either live or on the archive. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is night number two. We haven't talked about it at all yet, except to mention it, of the start of Winter Pledge Drive. We got our first pledge in via email. We have a greeting. Hi, Glenn, Michael, and Jeff. Please accept my $25 one-time donation for the pledge drive. This is in advance of my quarterly giving schedule. Love you guys. And that's Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Bobby, thank you so much. We'll be getting to the entire list of givers thus far, a little over halfway through the pledge drive. You can check out Bob's website, too. What a nice website title it is. Bob Hines at thetruegospel.net. Thetruegospel.net. We are going to return with more of the good news. On the other side, we've got a caller online. We got two callers online, huh? We have one caller online, and we will get to him, and you are not going to want to miss it or miss him. So stay logged on right here on the Gospel Revolution. Radio Network.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist that's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing. This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Thank you, Robert Moore. And
thank you, Robert. Isn't that marvelous?
Oh my God! You know, I listened to that, and so I mean,
I actually listened to them. I listened to these commercials. It's unbelievable.
What's unbelievable?
They're marvelous. I mean, just
it's unbelievable what comes out of your mouth, isn't it? Sometimes
it really is. I mean, the gospel really is not only the power of God; it's a power in and of itself, and. It's just so amazing that the human delivering it can feel the actual difference between the gospel and oneself. It is, while the gospel is integrally a part of us, yet when it starts coming out, you feel like that you. I'm telling you, the times that I've felt that I have sat down and listened to the person speaking, I can't even tell you. And I know that that is exactly what happens to everyone in their sharing with the gospel, because it is just so marvelous. And yet at the same time, it is so high and so wonderful, yet it fits absolutely perfectly and comfortably in any heart, at any stage of life, in any situation of life. It is a perfect fit every time.
You're so inclusive. Somebody will take that message and they'll construct an entire ministry called the Gospel of Inclusion. A completely non-biblical, non-scriptural concept, but they may do okay with it. This is Glenn Klein Online. We have a line available to you at 1-800-436-3260. Get in. We're going to try to be off on time tonight, so get in now. 1-800-436-3260, 813-425-5773. If you are listening around the globe, that's your number, 813-425-5773. And now let us go to a man who can relate oh so well to what we've been speaking of. Let us go to our Southern California senior correspondent, the king of comedy of the Gospel Revolution, and he proved it once again this evening to me prior to the webcast, when he completely cracked me up with a one-liner that his cousin Martin Mull would have been proud of. Please welcome online the Dough Man, Richard Mull.
Richard!
That's me speaking in the flesh, alive, kicking, and enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, I we know you are, and you're having fun. I got to tell you something, bro. These DVDs that you sent to me of your lunch and learn sessions at your company. First of all, it's fantastic gospel stuff. And as I offered on a previous show, if you guys want copies of any of Richard's lunch and learn sessions, when he just sits down at this accounting firm and shares the gospel, just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com, and we'll get you some copies, because we're not offering for sale. We'll just get you copies right now. Eventually we want to, because they're so rich. But the fantastic thing I'm happy to report, for a guy that's in stage 4 cancer, you look pretty damn good.
Well, that's just on DVD. You know, the makeup and the cameras and all of the lighting and everything else has a lot to do with that. Of course, I've never used makeup, but I could start using it and make myself look better. I don't want to scare anybody, you know.
Oh, you couldn't look better, though. You couldn't.
I couldn't look better. Well,
you look, and all, or at least some kidding aside, you look fantastic. I mean, how are you feeling?
I feel very well. I have no pain, and that's wonderful. And the good thing about it is, whenever I go to the doctor, there's always something new that they find when they look, and I tell them to stop looking, because every time they look, they find something new. So the last time I went in, which was, about a week and a half ago, results of a CT scan and a ultrasound on the leg for the blood clot, the blood clot, thankfully is gone. I was taking blood thinner for over 3 months and there's no clot there. Everything's clean and smooth and nice, and I've got good blood pressure and my heart's beating constantly at a normal pace. My pulse is normal. My brain is subnormal, but we're working on that. At least the Lord is. And he's helping me get it renewed.
How is he doing that? How is he getting, how is the Lord? When somebody hears that and they hear you say the Lord is helping you, what do you mean by that?
Well, he's feeding me the truth of the gospel. It's in my heart already, and it's being fed from my heart to my brain. Every time I hear it, I'm getting saved in my thoughts, feelings, and my emotions. My mind is being transformed, being renewed by that gospel, by the truth of the gospel. Because there's other gospels out there that aren't the gospel at all, according to Paul. And the truth of the gospel will give you the liberty, the freedom that Christ has set us free, to enjoy that 100% each and every day. And whatever comes along doesn't bother me, because I know that reality is found in Christ. All this other stuff is just temporary. I'll be out of here in 20 or 30 years, maybe longer, out of this life and into the new life after physical death, not the new life that I've been given in Christ, because I'm living that now, and I love it. It's so good for me, you know. It just does everything. It lifts me up. It gives me strength. It encourages me. I'll call people up and talk about the gospel to encourage them, and they end up encouraging me. It's a wonder, this freedom, this liberty we have, to just do what we want to do that's in our heart. And I love that. You know, it doesn't get any better than Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Well, the word liberty used here in this particular verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5 is from the Greek for politia, which means the community or the commonwealth, the combined group, everybody. It's a complete liberty. It's not just for one person or two people or 10 people. It's for everybody. And yet the clergy in this nation and around the world has tried to hide this liberty and say it's a mystery, and it'll be revealed one day along with the gospel and all these other things that are in the Bible. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's already been revealed. It's in everybody's heart. And they need to hear the gospel, the truth of the gospel, so that liberty can establish itself in their life and get into their mind and allow them to just live freely. Verse 13, chapter 5, Galatians. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." How can we serve one another if we don't know we have that liberty? And the word liberty here in verse 13 is the word freedom, which is eleutheria in the Greek, eleutheria. It means freedom, complete and total freedom. There's nothing missing there. But also in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5, one of the times liberty is used there means to be free, made free from mortal liability. And until we know we're free from liability, how can we take responsibility? And I'm taking responsibility for my own life. I'm taking responsibility for His righteousness, and I'm accepting it as my own. And that's what gives me such joy. I don't have to do anything to be right with God. I just be me. Boy wonder over here, chemo boy, dough boy, Dr. Do-Nothing. I'm having so much fun, I'm telling you.
All right, hold on for a second. First of all, getting back into the passage in Galatians there, when he mentions it, don't allow it to be an excuse for the flesh, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. What does he mean by that, do you think?
He means don't think that what you do in the flesh is going to make you right with God. There's no righteousness coming out of the flesh. The flesh is nasty and ugly. It stinks in the sight of God. So we just need to understand that if we accept his righteousness, just let it wash over you. It's in you already. It's been given as a gift. You don't even have to unwrap it. It's
right.
There.
Right, but Michael, I thought the flesh was sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yes, and the reason we thought that's because that's what we were told.
But that's Richard, the clergy for you. They'll
Richard
tell you anything to keep that control. They want that control. You know, this second week of the winter pledge drive is a great thing, and I'll tell you why. Because we need a pledge drive. We need to pledge ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to pledge ourselves to a ministry that brings relief, not a ministry that brings guilt, shame, and condemnation, that puts you back in bondage. We need a ministry that will get us where we need to be, not what we need to do, but where we need to be. And that's where the understanding, the knowing the truth of the gospel will get you where you need to be. And it's not because of Michael, or not because of Glenn, or not because of me, or not because of Grant Miller, or Jackie Barnard, or Billy Thompson, or any of these people in the world. It's because of what Christ did, and it flows out of us as a river of living water that just comes out to where people can hear it, and they know it's true because it's in them already. And it sparks something in them and causes a burning in their hearts. Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures and shared them with us? On the road to Emmaus, when Christ was walking along with two disciples who were downtrodden and downcast, I am undaunted. My new oncologist told me, Richard, from your previous chemo episode, 6 months worth, he says, they told you from a scan that you had, your other doctor, that your cancer was stable. And I said, well, that's good. That's a start. But we ran a CT scan, and we found out that the other doctor had run the wrong kind of scan, and he couldn't compare apples to oranges. So I ended up with a scan that really wasn't true. So we did a new scan to match up, to line up with the previous scan so we could see the changes. And lo and behold, instead of, you know, 19 or 20 tumors, I have 21 tumors, and they're growing. And I go, well, praise God, I got a new challenge to look forward to here. And a new treatment, a new chemo that started last week, and I like it. It is so unbelievable. It keeps me awake at night so I can do what I like to do best, and that's study the gospel and work on the computer. It doesn't give me nausea. It doesn't give me any diarrhea, and it doesn't give me any headaches, and it does give me an appetite. And I've been eating 4-5 solid meals a day. I'm in the bathroom getting rid of this stuff 6 times a day. It's great. It doesn't get any better than this.
Richard. Oh, my God. Listen, if a person was logging on and hadn't heard you before and had no experience with the gospel, they might hear something like this on the 700 Club or on TBN. And somebody would say, here's a guy who is seriously ill that is in denial. Well, I mean, that's a legitimate question, is it not?
It's a legitimate question, but I don't deny that there's sickness in my body. I don't deny that cancer is trying to get me and put me down. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I have a victory either way it goes. If I'm gone from this earth in a year or two or three, I'm with the Lord. If I got 20 or 25 years as we work on this thing with all these different options and all this stuff that's available to medical science today, and I live another 25 or 30 years, praise God. He's given us the wisdom. The doctor's the wisdom. He's given me wisdom. It's in me. Christ was made unto me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So whichever way it goes, I don't have to worry. I know where my home is. My home is in heaven. My home is with the Lord. I belong to him, and I just can't think of any place I'd rather be. But while I'm going through this, I'm up to the challenge. I am undaunted by what's going on in my body. I don't even feel it. I don't even know it's there. I don't focus on it.
I can't tell you, and obviously so many people that are listening to us, and Michael, you understand, that we've all had experience with people in cancer and in serious cancer situations. And that's why I mentioned the video, because obviously the information was amazing, but you look incredible. This is not a normal situation with people, Michael, that are facing what Richard is facing. Carla just emailed me. She's listening right now. She says, Richard sounds so alive and kicking.
He's that in a bag of chips, for sure. You know,
that's right.
These are the things that we're talking about that we are giving attention to. This is not a prescribed outcome to the gospel. This is just an observation
what's
happening. We've got one guy who has gone completely through a near-fatal accident, lost his right leg below the knee, and has never, and is out of the hospital, has gone through his last surgery to prepare the stump that he has left for a prosthetic, and has not gone through a moment, not a moment of despair, discouragement, disappointment at all.
All right. Well, we're talking about Grant Miller, Michael is.
Yes.
And you guys you've heard Grant many times on this program, and we'll hear him again. This is just hit me. Richard, because of his situation, is on sabbatical from his job.
Yeah,
Grant, because of his situation, has not been able to work much.
Yeah.
Because of the webcast and yours and my situation over the last almost 7 years, we've spent a disproportionate amount of time based on our previous existence to talking about the gospel. Grant's focus on the gospel, Richard's focus on the gospel. Guys like Pep Washburn and Greg Amberge and George Najjar and George Howell and Tom Tonsky and, I mean, Jeff Roberts, and I could name after name, Vic Dobrennan. These are people that are busy. James Gustafson, the list that we're going to read of the givers to the pledge drive. These are busy people. These are not people in the throes of life-threatening illness or who are hosting a worldwide gospel revolution webcast every week. But they're taking some time.
Yes, they are.
To contemplate the reality of this truth that we're sharing.
On the mail route, in the tractor, you know, you just go through the list of these guys and their occupations. And
Chris Harrington,
guys and gals,
Harrington from Nacogdoches, Texas, he has been absolutely voracious in his sharing of the gospel on the internet. The guy just retired from teaching.
Yes.
And now he, all of a sudden, what does he have time to, or at least more time to do? Think about Richard, when you're calling people to the gospel and to this effort, all you are saying, correct me if I'm wrong, all you are saying is calling them to things to think about and talk about, and that's it.
That's true, and I just tell them what I find in the scriptures and in the New Testament, and how it can be validated through the scriptures, and say, here it is. Now read it for yourself, think on it, meditate on it, and come to a conclusion, your own conclusion. I'm not telling you that this is the only way it can be. I'm just sharing with you what I've seen and what I find. And I think it would be wise for you, for your health, mental health, physical health, any kind of health, to get the truth. So you don't have to be yoked in bondage. You don't have to be burdened down with somebody else's yoke. For Christ said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he's right. It's freedom. Humanity has won its battle. Liberty now has a country. I received this in an email quote, as a quote from the Marquis de Lafayette, from Michael. Several days ago, humanity has won its battle. Liberty now has a country. Well, I've modified that. Humanity has won its battle. Liberty now has a kingdom. And the kingdom is the kingdom of God, and it's in everyone. That kingdom, that freedom, that liberty is in everyone. And we need to get a handle on that. And the only way to get it is through the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
Good preaching, Richard.
Well, thank you.
Dude, you have been as faithful a participant and are as faithful a participant in this effort. You're on the list, of course, for givers during this pledge drive. We're looking for a very, very modest goal over these 21 days of a little over $11,000 and change. We're just looking for people to give $5 or $10 a month, $5 or $10 or whatever they can give in a one-time gift. What would you say to the folks that are kind of thinking maybe that they want to participate financially? Why should they?
All right. Good point, because I was thinking about that before I called this evening, and there's something very important about that I want to say about supporting any ministry. But a ministry that does bring relief, a ministry that teaches you and gives you the truth that will set you free, because Christ has already set us free, but it will give you the truth that will help you understand the freedom you have in Christ, the liberty you have in Him, is a ministry that will bring relief. For Christ has relieved us from all the burdens, the burden of guilt, the burden of shame, the burden of condemnation, the burden of the law, the burden of sin, the burden of debt, all these things have been destroyed and put away with or fulfilled. And we don't need to be burdened with that and focusing on those things in our life each day, along with trying to work a job, raise a family, put food on the table, settle bills. This ministry is not, the ministry I'm talking about, Michael Williams Ministries, is not getting rich off the gospel. It's not taking in millions and millions and millions of dollars every year and buying private jets and having 3 mansions and living like kings and doing whatever you want to do. It's not getting rich.
We're not even making a living, for God's sake.
No, not even breaking even most of the time. And now things are starting to change a little bit. And maybe we can break even. But I'm telling people, I'm encouraging people, whatever you have in your heart to give, give it. Don't begrudge anyone. You have an opportunity. It presented itself last Wednesday. It presents itself tonight. And it will present itself next Wednesday. This is an opportunity to do what's in your heart and to get relief. You're hearing these things every week, week after week after week for all these years. If you haven't been relieved of something in your life, then maybe you need to go to the urologist so you can get some medication so you can get some kind of relief. Because I'm taking 3 medications from the urologist so I can get some relief from a bladder that doesn't work properly. And that goes along with the chemo and the blood thinner and the blood clot stuff and all this. But it's getting better. I went today and it's getting better. The doctor says, oh, you're improving. Come back and see me next month. I used to have to see him every week. Now it's once a month.
Yeah, I like hearing that. I like hearing that. Come see me next month. That's good stuff. I love, Michael, when Richard said we. The gospel revolution is beyond anything that has any borders or any titles. We have tongue-in-cheek titles, of course, but the gospel revolution is a mindset that is, we extrapolate, is going to permeate the planet. And we have a very major goal, folks. We have a goal of having a billion people understand their righteousness in Christ, and an overarching goal of seeing the complete and utter downfall of organized Christianity and religion in general. I know it doesn't sound like much, but and here we are on this mid-December evening hoping to be able to raise about $11,000. Yep, that's what we're doing over 21 days. You understand these guys on television that they raise that in 10 minutes?
Money for these guys.
It's chump change. But we're just telling you where we're at right now. We've got Michael's book coming out next year. But the level of involvement, Michael, as we've seen over the years, is growing. And what we do is we take 3 webcasts a quarter. How many webcasts are in a quarter? If there's, what is there, 4 months in a quarter or 3 months in a quarter? And so there's 12 webcasts in a quarter. We take 3 out of the 12 to talk about money a little bit. We add an extra half an hour to the webcast so that we have plenty of time to share the reality of Christ, the reality of the gospel. But it really is a we concept, isn't it?
Yes, you know, it's funny. that you mentioned that, because several years ago I was talking about something that I was getting ready to do, and I was actually having a conversation with one friend in particular. This has been 4 years ago here in Houston. And as we were talking, she stopped me in mid-sentence. She says, "Why do you keep saying we? Who's we?" And I realized that's just a part of my vernacular when it comes to me expressing about what I am doing. Because it's just really amazing. When I go to Canada, we are going to Canada. I don't know how to say that outside of the fact that that's just the way that that concept is in my mind. And so she challenged me about it, and I honestly hadn't stopped to think about it, and I had to stop and think, and I gave her some answer, which I don't even know now exactly what I told her that day. But it has stayed on my mind, has come back to my mind many times since then. Why do you always say we? So I started observing this to see why I say we all the time. And this is it, because the gospel is so inclusive. No matter what I'm doing, I don't feel like I'm doing anything alone or by myself. It's always we. And I may say I am doing this or that and in a certain way, but even when I do that, I am still, my mind, the concept is always we. And, it's been a very wonderful concept for me to have.
No doubt. And even as we criticize the thinking and even the actions of people like Tim Tebow or Jimmy Swaggart or Ted Haggard or Jerry Sandusky, all these people and everybody on the planet are a part of we as well.
Absolutely.
They just don't know it yet. But
yeah.
but for a guy like Tebow, for example, as we're using him this evening, to do what he's doing, it is a perfect opportunity, and we're happy to take the opportunity to talk about the gospel vis-a-vis what we are seeing in the common and current culture, the popular culture, if you will. Richard, we love you.
Love you, Richard.
Love you, too. I'm going to let you guys go because I've got some things to do, but don't forget what God said in Genesis when he said, "Let us make man in our image." It wasn't a father thing, a son thing, or a Holy Spirit individual thing. It was a joint thing. It was we. We are going to do this, and they followed through all the way. And the Holy Spirit was there, and the Father was there, and Jesus was there at the cross, and they're all one. They're one, and we're one with him. So just remember that. I love you guys. Everybody, give what's in your heart. Give. Don't hold back. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Just give what's in your heart.
Well, you'll be happy to hear before we let you go that when we went online, we were towards our goal of $8,400 and change to $8,099. We are now at $8,824.
So
which
picked
is,
up over $700. That's great.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic.
That is. That's fantastic. I've known this ministry intimately since, 20 years now.
20 years.
And there's nobody getting rich here, folks. Brothers and sisters out there, there's nobody getting rich off this. So just do your best.
We got rich tonight because Rich called us.
Yeah, we did.
Well, pick my peas. All right, guys. I'll be talking with you.
All right.
Love you.
Love you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
There goes
bye-bye.
Richie Mull, the king of comedy. Chemo boy, if you will, of the gospel revolution. All right, well, we got a couple minutes left. If you want to get on the line, that line's available to you at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Can I get to an email question real quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
This question came in a couple of weeks ago from our good buddy Paul in the United Kingdom. He said, "Hi, Glenn and Mike. Jeremiah stated that the heart of man was desperately wicked before the cross. We know that since the cross, the heart of man is no longer wicked." See, Paul's been listening, folks. How do we explain wickedness in people since the cross? For example, Adolf Hitler. Also, how different would we have behaved if we had been born before the cross? And that's with thanks from Paul in the UK.
Yeah, well, Paul has been listening, hasn't he?
Indeed.
The powerful thing is to understand that there is a difference between being born before the cross and after. Do you realize that just for Paul to formulate the question has required some advanced understanding about the work of the cross? Even just to formulate the question, if there's never an answer, just the fact that he was able to formulate the question to delineate between the before the cross, people being born before the cross and after the cross. I remember, let me share this experience with you. I remember when I first started sharing about the gospel, gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, especially the gospel of peace. This is what I was on at the time. And the understanding of that was just saturating my mind as I was standing up, and the realization that all of God's anger was gone. It wasn't even in God anymore, much less on the earth. God's, the anger that was in God was completely gone. The jealousy that was in God was completely gone. And I remember I stopped in the middle of my teaching. And I said, you know, I can just imagine that the very air must have breathed differently after the cross. In fact, just immediately after the death of Jesus. Because the death of Jesus completely put to death all things, all wrath, all judgment, all anger, all law, all prophecy. All of this was completely being fulfilled in the body of one man. And I remember thinking, my God, the air must breathe differently now than it did before the cross. I for one, cannot tell you what it would have been like before the cross to be able to be alive. And there's no way that I possibly can, because I wasn't there. The thing that we do know is that people before the cross, born before the cross, were born in sin. They were born under the law. There had to be a feeling of that experience. There had to be some feeling to that. We know that society and civilizations did not advance hardly at all from what even just biblical time, from Noah all the way forward. The living, the way it was lived, nothing changed for all of these centuries. But after the cross, I really do believe that every advancement we are living in now has been because of minute threads of the gospel that has dawned upon this earth.
Even if they were atheists,
yes,
who helped
absolutely
us make advancement. All right, so he says, how therefore do we explain the wickedness in people like Adolf Hitler since the cross? I'm going to ask it this way, Michael. Would it be fair to compare the kind of wickedness that was manifested in the Nazi Third Reich to anything that we saw before the cross, historically?
Yeah, you could see it in God all the way through. God was very much of that mindset.
Wait. That is the last thing I thought you were going to say, but it bears repeating. That was incredible, and it is so true.
Yeah, you don't have to look at human beings, just look at God. I mean, in fact, Hitler was kind compared to the acts of God.
Hitler was certainly kind compared to what Christianity says is awaiting human beings who don't adhere to their doctrine.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least Hitler put them out of their misery.
The
God of Christianity is going to torture people forever. Forever is a long hello, ladies and gentlemen. I need to point this out because I am really determined to be disciplined to the clock tonight. Hitler did what he did over the course of about 12 years or thereabouts. These empires that went on for decades and centuries, what stopped Hitler in a relative short amount of time compared to, oh, I don't know, the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Or the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
Or how about the cruelty that happened throughout history for centuries to people? This is in no way excusing, obviously, but it was relatively short-lived. Here's what I'm going to say. As a Jewish man who had ancestors that died at the hand of the Germans and the Nazis, I'm going to say that was relatively short-lived. And even that has, by the way, that has absolutely nothing to do with the fulfillment of Scripture. The establishment in our lifetime of a Jewish state in the midst of a heinously anti-Semitic world, that is a witness and an example to the gospel, to the truth, to the people be able to follow their hearts and to establish a free democracy where women and gay and lesbian and transgender people have equal rights in a country called Israel. I thought homosexuality was an abomination to their scriptures. And yet, even Miss Israel, that represented the state of Israel in the Miss Universe contest, was transgender. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? The amount of freedom that it would take? The United States couldn't do that right now.
No, we cannot.
But what I am saying, as a Jewish guy on this December 14th evening, 2011, that is an example of the effect on the gospel in people's hearts, as Richard said, who don't even know they have the Holy Spirit. They don't know they have the truth of God resident inside of them. That's good preaching, Roberts.
It sure is. And this is people who've just been raised in a society that declares liberty. Therefore, they are given the liberty to think for themselves. And by thinking for themselves, they come up with these concepts of liberty. And the things that exemplify the gospel itself. So it's very powerful. But can you imagine the world knowing what they are embracing and knowing where that power comes from?
And knowing the equality, the status of equality that every single human being, including their political and military enemies, have with them.
That in and of itself would eliminate a mindset such as a Hitler. There is no possibility with the gospel being entreated that a mind like Hitler's could ever survive in that environment. Number one, if it didn't take hold in the mind of Hitler, the people around would never allow this to go forward. You know, the mentality, they have gone over it many, many times with the German people who in the process of this allowed incrementally this to take place in their lives until they had lost control over their own lives. But if the gospel had been been in this country, I think history would have been different. I think even Hitler himself would have been different.
And to answer Paul's question, how we would have behaved before the cross, we have absolutely no reason to think, Paul, that we would have behaved any better or any differently than those that did, including those that did the physical crucifixion, that offered up Yeshua for his crucifixion, that denied his their involvement with him at the crucifixion. Our hearts were deceitfully wicked in that race that Michael talked about at the top of the webcast, that race of people that had been destroyed. That race no longer exists. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right, so with the total that I mentioned earlier, which is at, we're going for $11,421 over these 21 days. We've had one-time gifts of $3,040. We've had 12 gifts for new or additional monthly pledges of $482, totaling $8,824 to this moment. You guys that are listening on the archive, it's more than that now, but we need your help. And we want to thank the following gospel revolutionaries from around the planet that have given to this effort. George Howell from Monongahela. I had it down so well. From Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Tom Tonsky from Canton, Ohio. Greg Amberge from Mainville, Ohio. We had an anonymous gift from beautiful Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Dale Van Sickle of the recently completed Tampa Bay Gospel Revolution Summit number 2 from Clyde, North Carolina. Cliff and Katie Griffin from Gainesville, Georgia. Mary Lou Kustra, also an attendant at the summit, from Tampa. Craig Davis from Chipley, Florida. Alan Davis from Chipley, Florida. Billy Thompson from Wachuca City, Arizona. Robert and Linda Parks from Mobile, Alabama. Billy and Jeannie Schultz from Pollock Pines, California. Mary Kustra from Ellijay, Georgia. Steve Stredwick from Whitehall, Montana. Gene Davyduck from Castor, Alberta. Mike and Letitia Cole from Daytona Beach, Florida. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana. Leroy Barrow from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Gene Giglio from Opelika, Alabama. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Wayne Jensen from Bingham Lake, Minnesota. Deidre Simpson from Kelowna, British Columbia. Pastor Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Arthur Wirch from Brandon, Manitoba. Dwayne and Ruth Dachow from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Jackie Barnard from Manchester, Tennessee for just a little while longer. Alvin Cooper from Oak City, Florida. Richard Mull from Garden Grove, California. Doug Bowman from Little Rock, Arkansas. Vic Dobrennan from Calgary, Alberta. Barry Cooley from Dyersburg, Tennessee. Shane Turk from Groveland, Florida. Leah Dyke from Kelowna, British Columbia. Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia. And Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan. What a lovely list.
Thank you, thank you. My goodness. And yeah, I couldn't say thank you enough times, and the appreciation. You know, the ability to see the budget and, you know, the expenditures began to come a little bit more closely aligned to the cash flow that we have is really wonderful. The process of this has been amazing, and you know, there is hardly a ministry on the face of this planet that would look at this financial situation and rejoice, but you just got to realize how little we get by on and how much difference this makes. It makes a huge difference. To have $480 a month now more coming in is a huge impact on the budget of the ministry, and to say thank you will never be sufficient, but anyway, thank all of you so much for what you've done. Well, even if you're just listening, we thank you so much for listening. If you're sharing a CD with somebody, thank you, thank you. I know you're doing it from your heart. But if you engage somebody in a conversation, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just know that this is a effort by all of us together, no matter who you are or what you're doing as a part of this, even if you're just listening. It's we.
It's we. And thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Now get back to your guests.
Yes.
We want to thank everybody who's given and who is going to give. We want to thank Richard Mull for calling in and participating on the webcast. You guys can go to gospelrevolution.com, and right in the middle of the homepage, you can see the different thank you gifts for the different gift levels. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. You can call the number at the top of the homepage there to make your pledge or to call for anything, to talk about CDs or downloads, or you just want to talk to Jeff. That's at the top of the page at gospelrevolution.com, as well as all the thank you gifts during this start of winter pledge drive to Ought 11. Want to thank that Jeffro Robertson for everything he's doing in beautiful Lake Panasoffkee, Florida. And oh, by the way, this list was bereft of anybody from any place else other than the U.S. and Canada. And we're very thankful for the U.S. and Canada. But come on, some of you folks around the planet, want to hear some places like in Australia and South America and the Middle East and Asia and Europe and stuff. So get on the horn. Let us hear from you this week. We'll do it in 1 week's time. Thanks also to Mr. Sean O'Halloran for producing, engineering, and call screening in an extraordinary way. Want to alert Carla that I am on my way home, so please get that tea on the stove, honey, with some honey. Until next time, thank you guys so much. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!